Let's stand and read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate, tell me, day and night. And he meditates, what? Say it again, he meditates. What does meditating mean? My daddy said it's kind of like a cow. He goes out and forages and eats, and then he stands underneath the tree and chews his cud. Amen? So he eats it first, ingests it, brings it up, chews his cud. Yeah, a cow has four stomachs. Isn't that amazing? So no wonder McDonald's hamburger tastes so good. Amen. So, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and that law doth he meditate. And he shall be like a tree. Like a tree. A like a means that it's similarity. All right. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall. Well, that's a wonderful promise, amen? When I'm reading my Bible, always looking for promises. Always looking for promises that, I'll be honest with you, when I read my Bible, I'm really stingy about this. I want to get something for me, amen. Once I get something for me, then I get something for you. But bless God, I'm going to get something for me first. Because if I can't get it for me, I can't keep getting it for you, amen. So, the Bible says, he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. I was gone for a week. In the back of my house, on my patio, I have these beautiful flowers. They're in pots. And I didn't tell somebody to water them. I got home last night. I walked back there and I saw these guys going, please. Give me a drink. I don't know if they're going to come out of it. It usually happens with me at camp. When I go to camp and come back, all my flowers are dead. I already lost my front flowers, the hanging pot. I got to redo that. My sister-in-law is coming in a week right after family camp, and I got to repot that because she is a flower guru, and I want her to think that I really did it. Amen. I was at Golden State one time. And I noticed that the flowers weren't as pretty as I thought they should be. The next day, here they have all these guys with brand new pots of flowers, and they were replanting them. I said, no wonder your place, we got to do that all the time. But it looked really good, amen. So the Bible says, the leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. How many of you farm boys? Hey, Scott, you know what chaff is, don't you? That's what you get down your neck when you're throwing bales, amen. And John, I'm sure you remember that kind of stuff. Clyde, remember that stuff. How many ever throw bales? I remember that chaff. Isn't that, oh, you did too, sis? Man, I'm proud of you, amen. Yeah, that's no good. It's no good, amen. We used to go to Thomas Shores. After we threw hay all day, we went to Thomas Shores, and my mother would give me a ivory soap. How many know anything about ivory soap? It floats. And we'd go out there in the lake, at Wixom Lake, and take our bath or shower, whatever you want to call it, in the lake, amen. And, man, oh, man, that feel good to get that stinking old, itchy old hay chaff. Well, the Bible says that's what the ungodly are like. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation, the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to give to you tonight eight challenges I want to make to you in your life. I started this Saturday morning, yesterday morning at camp. Brother Witter says, Brother Shear, finish it all off. Just finish it all off. Get these kids out of here to the fact that they're going to remember something when they get home. And I want to give you those eight. I worked on it, but I worked on a little bit more here. Let's pray. Father and God, I pray that you'd help us. Thank you so much for being the Jehovah God, the creating God, the magnificent God, the only God. Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, as Christians, that we would certainly bow down to you. We would praise your name for all you've given to us. You are a great and magnificent God. We praise your holy name. We thank you for your Son that you gave to this world so that we could have a life that we of power and strength, and that we would have a life for eternity. Lord, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I was getting the calendar run off, and Zachary Moore came up to see me. And I noticed him standing there, but I was kind of getting stuff done. And he said to me, Preacher, I want to get saved. I want Jesus in my heart. That guy right there. And I thought, okay, I'm going to ask a couple questions. I don't want to make it hard, but I want to make sure he understands what he's doing. And I said, so, you want to get saved? Yep. And I said, I think the first thing I asked him, I said, do you know you're a sinner? He says, yep. I said, what's sin mean? Well, when you lie and don't do what your mama says. I said, you understand the whole thing here, all right. And I said, if you ask Jesus in your heart, what will happen? He said, Jesus will come in my heart and I won't go to hell. I said, let's get down. And we got on our knees underneath the old buffalo. That's my second more kid in this year, right? I've got to lead the Lord, amen. One over in the chapel over there and one here. What a blessing it is to be able to lead these boys and girls to the Lord, amen. So, I want to challenge you tonight. Number one, I want to challenge you to read your Bible every day. I want to challenge you to read your Bible every day, every day, every day, before you do anything else. Now, I understand some of us old people, there's something that we've got to do immediately when we get up. All right. And that's to let the dog out. But anyway, what I'm saying is, don't get your newspaper. I'm saying don't pour yourself a cup of coffee. I'm saying don't make yourself a breakfast. I'm saying the first thing you ought to do in the morning is read your Bible. Before you do anything else, make it a habit. And they say after 14 days, 15th day is a habit. Some people say 13 days. I'm a little dumb, so I need 15, amen. I remember when I was wearing my hearing aids for the first time. This is a terrible, terrible, noisy world to be in. It's just crazy. And I got my hearing aids, and wouldn't you know, I went over to Fairview Baptist Church, and I had to talk to Pastor John. He said, hey, jump in the bus, ride with me. We're taking the kids home for Bible school. I got on that bus. About three blocks, I was ready to kill every kid in that bus. My ears hurt me so bad. It was so loud, I couldn't hardly stand it. And but my cousin, Floyd Shear, was 80 years old. He told my dad, Claire, don't let those hearing aids run you. You run those hearing aids. My dad was always taking them out of his ears. Always taking them out of his ears. And I talked to the person at the hearing aid place, and they said, listen, the longer you go without hearing very well, you're going to lose your discrimination. You can get a lot of power, but if you can't understand what that sound is, you lose that very quickly. And so I made a determination that I was going to wear those hearing aids no matter what. First day, my eyeballs were going like this. You know, like those, when the noise goes on in your, on your record player, people don't have record players anymore, on your whatever, you know, they go, my eyeballs were going like this. First day. Second day. Oh, my goodness. Third day. Killing me. Fourth day. Worse. I couldn't get away from the noise. Fifth day. It was excruciating. Sixth day. I couldn't stand it. Seventh day. Eighth day. Ninth day. Tenth day. 11th day. 12th day. 13 days. My hearing aid batteries died. And I'm going crazy because I realize I was enjoying this noise. I was enjoying not going like it's the most difficult thing in the world to have can't be able to hear. You are straining all the time just to hear what person is going to say. 13 days, I had a habit of wearing hearing aids. I never took them out, put them in my ears, and stayed with it. 13 days. And people say if you do something for 13 to 15 days, it'll become a habit. And it's kind of like church. Well, you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, constantly. Missed a couple. Then all of a sudden, what happens? It's pretty easy to miss the next one. Pretty easy to miss the next one. Pretty easy to get a excuse for the next one. And so, may I encourage you, read your Bible every day. Try the 13-day program, amen. Just read your Bible. May I encourage you to, and just read a few minutes. May I encourage you, you older people, you ought to read a proverb every day. Today is the 30th, so you ought to read Proverbs 30. I read it every day. My granddad told my dad to do that. My dad told me to do that. Son, a man can be wise by reading the wisest man in the world. So read the Bible every day. And he always got me to read Proverbs. As a pastor, I read Psalms. And I read 5 Psalms a day. On the 1st to the 5th Psalm, that's day 1. 6th to the 10th is day 2. And on and on and on. And sometimes I can't remember where I'm at. And so what I do is on every 5, I make the next day on it. So I remember where I read. And then also I read Acts. Chapter of Acts every day, because I'm a pastor. I need to know about Acts. I need to know about the Acts of the Apostles. And that was the one that was most primitive and its most clearest is what the church was doing. And so that's mine. Some of you ought to have a different one to read, okay? But that's what I do. And you've got to read it. I'll tell you what. Satan, he is a fox. I'll tell you what. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I'll tell you what, if he can get me, something goes on in my house that I've got to take care of before I know it, I'm running around my house with a chicken, my head cut off, and all of a sudden I'm not finding time for my Bible, and I've got to do it in the morning. I'll encourage you to do that. You dear mamas, with all those little pickaninnies running around the house, and little tricycle motors and ankle biters, amen. Oh, you know, some people say, well, when the kids lay down, you lay down. Are you crazy? That's when you clean the house. That's when you fix everything up and do all the dishes. Thank God if you got a dishwasher. Throw it in there, amen, and crank her on, amen, and wash the clothes and hang them up. And if you don't keep on it, you're going under. So you have a really difficult time to listen to read your Bible. There is a DVD out that I have at my house. You put it in your DVD player, and it will read the Bible to you. Read right through. It'll just go chapter after chapter, verse by verse by verse by verse. Every morning at my house, when Marcia finally gets up, I turn that on, and that's on for a while. She listens to it, and then we go to Andy Griffith. All right. Number 2. I challenge you to pray every day. Make it a small list. Now listen to me now. Pray every day. Make a prayer list. Make a prayer list. And why I want you to make a prayer list is so that you can see how God answers your prayer. I told my Sunday school class about the prayer I had yesterday. God answered my prayer. Well, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to forget that. But if I have it someplace, somewhere, I've written it down, I can go back and say, yeah, there's a very difficult thing that's going on in my life, and God answered that prayer. So I challenge you every day, pray. After you read your Bible, pray. Doesn't have to be 100 hours. Pray. As I was preaching this morning, as a servant, he looks up his eyes. Sometimes he doesn't even, there's no audible, but you don't have to make an audible voice to God. He hears your prayer. He sees your tears. He sees your heart. He knows. And so pray every day. Pray every day. Number 3, I challenge you to be thankful for every day. I challenge you to thank your daddy. And thank your mama. And thank your brother. And thank your sister. One thing Every day you ought to thank your dad. One thing. Every day you ought to think of something, you ought to see something your daddy does and thank him. Hey, Jason, what does that do to you? What does that do to you? Yeah. It's a little payback after having all these kids and working so hard and doing all this. Your kid comes up and says, Daddy, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being a good soldier. I want to thank you for loving my mama. We were just at camp, and some of the kids were telling us some things that are going on in their lives. And how sad. One little girl, in her prayer request, it said, I'm glad I'm at camp so I don't have to put up my dad and mama's fighting. Yep, you got it, Marcia. That's right. That breaks our heart. Every day, Mike and I prayed prayer requests, and that broke both of our hearts. We wept. I'm glad I'm at camp, so I don't have to hear my mom and dad fighting. Boy. Hey, be thankful. Be thankful for what you got. Be thankful for your wife. Tell her. Tell her. Look for things about your wife you're thankful for. Just look for things, and you can find them real quick. Look for things your husband. Thank God for him. You can find it real quick. Look for things with your children and thank them. It's not a one-way street, folks. I want to thank you, son, for being a good boy. Hey, Brody, I want to thank you. The preacher said you're a good boy at camp. I want to thank you for keeping up the Reeves name. Last week, my grandson, Will Shear, went to camp. And their camp was that they went up into Kentucky and got one of the poorest villages or whatever, and they came in and built some things for them. It was a really hard-working camp. And when he was leaving, I was talking to him on the phone. I said, Will, I said, remember who you are. I said, you're a Shear. He said, yeah, I know. I said, if you screw up, man, you're a Schaefer. And so I called him up the other day. I said, Will, how'd you do? He said, I'm still a Shear. So, amen. Hey, be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. 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 Thank your parents. Thank your family for a good name that God has given. Call your parents. Call them up. Tell them you love them. I challenge you also, number four, I challenge you to be faithful to every called church service. Faithful to every called church service here at the Baptist Church. Every service. Be faithful to it. Amen. Make a real strong push to get down to camp meeting. I was at camp and I was talking to a couple of people and someone talked to me and it was just nice that, you know, I'm usually up here preaching and you're not talking, well, some of you do, but anyway, not talking back to me. And it's just nice to be able to just listen to their story and listen to their life. Boy, it's good to know that. And boy, I'll tell you what, I pray for them way more than I ever prayed for them because I know that some of the heartaches and sorrows they're going through. So I challenge you to be faithful to every church service, everything that's open. For instance, our next week, our big anniversary. That's huge. That's huge. 37 years of your church. That's huge. That's wonderful. Hey, your pastor's been 35 years. That may not be a good thing to you, but it sure is. I'm pretty excited about it. Praise God you put up with me for 35 years. Think about it, I put up with you too. But anyway, I challenge you to be faithful to all the service. Number five, I challenge you to love your pastor. You know, sometimes that's the only reason we stay. It's the only reason we stay at it. Somebody asked me, says, hey, I hear you're going to retire. I said, really? I said, who'd you hear that from? Well, I just figured, being your age and everything. I said, what do you mean my age? What are you talking about? That chafes me, brother. Amen. And I said, I don't plan it. As long as God gives me the tools to keep working and serving God, I'm going to stay with it. Amen. And, but the thing that keeps a preacher going is, hey, preacher, I love you. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I love you, man. There's a lot of things that when you were going through some battles, the old man preacher was right beside you, putting his arm around him, but you're going to make this thing. You're going to go. Well, every once in a while, the old preacher needs that. I just thought I'd throw that out to you. Also, love my wife. At camp, couple of the ladies said, we want to hear Mrs. Shear sing. And she tore the horse down. She tore the house down. She sang Amazing Grace with Mrs. Leach. Mrs. Leach, a beautiful singer. And they sang together. I think it's on Facebook. Somebody said it's on Facebook. Amen. So I challenge you to love your pastor and his family, his wife. Number six, I challenge you, when God impresses you to do something, do it immediately. Do it immediately. Isaac Camp. And funds are not so, how can I say, but anyway. And I was going to give a $10 bill to the missionary. They're passing the bucket around. You remember, kids, how they did that? So I took a $10 bill out, and Marcia took it. And she handed it to Mike. And he says, thank you. Well, I seen how he felt about that. I just happened to have another bill in there. I put it in his hand. I said, Mike, I love you. God spoke to my heart immediately to do that. There's some things in my life that I never want to hold back. When God says something, to do it. I had a lady last night stop by our house, and she said, preacher, I don't have any money to get home. I've got my kids here, and I need to get home. She lives in she used to go here for a while back. And I said, come right over. She said, you mean it? I said, get over here. I gave her some money and filled up her car with gas. God impressed my heart to do that. You know, I keep reading in the Bible about how that we are to take care of the poor. Poor should not expect us to take care of them, but we, who God has allowed to have, it is our responsibility to give them. It's not their choice to tell me what to give. It's my choice to give. All through the Bible is like that. Poor man has no right to tell the rich man, hey, give me your money. That's called socialism. That's called what America is trying to do right now. There's some fat cats in Washington have taken away my Social Security that I've paid for over, 55 years. Every year, man, I've paid into Social Security. My dad said, son, don't get out of Social Security because that'll never fail because they're going to take you because they've already promised that to the old people. Well, a couple of years ago, they started doling out your Social Security. And now they're saying that we are griping that we're not getting our Social Security. Are you kidding me? You didn't tell me that when I was paying $1,000 every year going into it. Just because they said there was so much money they didn't know what to do with it. Oh, yeah, the politician knew what to do with it. They just gave it away to everybody. So I'm mad about that. And you should be too. So I challenge you. When God impresses you to do something, do it immediately. You see a little boy that needs a pair of shoes? Hey, where's your boy? Yeah. Matthias needs a new pair of cowboy boots. I'm getting a pair of cowboy boots this week. That'll be my third one I bought for him, right? Yep. So these are my third ones. I saw him at camp. He would not wear anything else. His counselor says, hey, man, you need to put some other shoes on. Well, there's another cowboy preacher there. That's all he wore, cowboy boots. And I thought, well, he can wear cowboy boots. He can wear cowboy boots. He can wear cowboy boots. Anyway, see me after service. If God impresses you something, do it immediately. Because if you don't do it, you're going to miss out on the blessing that God had for you. I don't mean you ought to give everything you got away. But it ought to be close. Give us this day our daily bread. I challenge you to, when God impresses you to do something, do it immediately. I challenge you to thank God for who you are. Listen to me now. Thank God who you are. You say, but Pastor, I'm not much. You thank God for who you are. There's nobody in this world. There's no fingerprints like you. There's no DNA like you. You are a being that God created, and you are only one. Thank God for guys like Jason. But anyway, you're only one. Amen. The only one. And thank God who you are. Thank God for your temperament. Thank God for your what you look like. Thank God for what you have. Thank God what you don't have. Thank God. Thank God who you are. Don't be afraid of, well, I didn't know. Hey, be at peace. Be at peace with yourself. More people commit suicide because they want to be somebody else. He said, well, I'm always forgetting something. Hey, gives your wife something to do. Hey, I went in the store, get something. If I don't write this thing down on this little book, I come home with a whole bag full of other stuff. I just found this. I couldn't figure out what it. I remember I was feeding my wife today, and she stuck a napkin in my front pocket. What was that? Yes, it is dirty. But be at peace with yourself. You know, well, I'm just so big. Hey. You're warm in the winter. You have shade in the summer. Hallelujah. It's okay. Well, I'm so skinny. Praise the Lord. There's more people room to get in. Amen. There's so many people so worried about their looks, so worried about this. And so, why don't you just be thankful for what God gave you? Hey, I have diabetes. I found out my dear friend, Brother Wittes, has diabetes. Broke my heart. Because I know what people go through with diabetes. When I hear some of you folks who've got diabetes, my heart just, I wept. I did. I said, how you doing? He said, it's really a pain. I said, yeah, I know it is. Yeah. And he said, all they want you to do is eat cardboard and grass and green stuff. He said, man, I want some bread. I want some meat. I want some potatoes. Be thankful for what you got. Thankful for who you are. And last, I challenge you that every week you invite one person to church. Every week, just one person. Not asking a lot, just one person. Say, saw a guy had to do some work at Verizon yesterday. And I said, hey, where do you go to church at? He said, well, he said, I just moved here from California. I said, hey, I got a great church. I said, why don't you come over and visit with us? He said, you know, I'm going to try out. He said, I can't promise you, but I'm going to try. And I'm going after him again. Young man, smart, very intelligent young man. And I'm asking him. I was at the grocery store the other day. I said, hey, where do you go to church at? Well, and I said, you know what? Hey, let me give you a personal invitation to, you are invited to Heritage Baptist Church, Montana's friendly church. You can't go wrong with that. And she laughed. I said, well, thank you. I'll try sometime. You say, but they never come. Well, that, one of these times, a salesman says, one out of ten will buy the product. So if you haven't got to your 10 and they probably haven't came, it's probably because you just can't give up. You got to keep going. Get those tracks out. Get them whipping up and say, hey, sure like to invite you to our church. We got a wonderful church. And I'll tell you what, it'll be a blessing to you. So I hope you keep those 8 things in mind. Do you? Did it work?